I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, I'll try not to whine about the rain. I know we need the moisture, but this is the only day I get to be outside.
I forgot to turn on my
mic
again.
Turn on the microphone.
Yeah. Saturdays are oftentimes literally the only time we get home, and you have from about lunchtime to dark, and that's it.
Well, and now the days are getting shorter.
They are.
And it's tough. Like, I don't have time after work to go outside.
Dave's back there making crying motions with his...
Okay, so this is the only moment I'm going to whine on the show this morning, because we do need the moisture. We can't grow things without water.
No, it's one of those days that, even though it's disheartening, you want a good day. We do desperately need the moisture, and, you know, folks around the Wasatch Front, the Davis Weber Canal shut down. There's been others that are shutting down.
We desperately need
it. And we desperately need it.
I know.
And my worry is that as time passes, if we don't get regular rain, we could be seeing conifers, you know, the pines and the spruce especially, really suffer through the winter. And in the spring, we'll see incidences of drought stress and borers and engraver beetles, the infestations of those will tick up because of the lack of water through the fall.
Right. So I was talking to Kevin Eubank, and he was saying, you know, we really need to see. I was saying, oh my gosh, but the temperature is dropping off into the 60s on Monday. And he goes, yeah, and we need to start seeing storms right after that. That's an indication of what our winter will be.
Yeah, it really is. And we just need that moisture. So, as much as I don't want to say it, we need it. And I'm hoping people, it's mid-September, the gardening season's winding down. You know, the tomatoes are still productive, but the squash, you know, are coming to an end and things. So I'm hoping that, you know, I want the weather to stay warm, but we really do need these storms.
Right. My husband was saying he was already out early this morning, and you can tell the people in the neighborhood who don't have their sprinkler systems attached to their, you know, a Wi-Fi something, because they're the ones that are running their sprinklers this morning when they don't need to.
Yeah, and it's just so disheartening, you know, to either have a sensor that is in the ground to tell you your clock to turn off, or have a smart controller. They're just as expensive as regular controllers, and because you can control it from your phone and program them from an app, it's actually, to me, a lot easier to decipher, to turn this dial and then hit that button and turn it back over here, almost like you're running a World War II Enigma machine or something. And so I just really like these newer smart controllers.
Right. And also a great way to save water, to conserve water, to have these kind of smartphone apps, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And so people accuse the smart controllers of being a little bit too stingy with the water. it's just a click of a couple buttons to tick that water up incrementally until you find where you need to be to keep things green. And so you have such finite control over them that's just so easy. It's one of the best things you can do, is, you know, along with a lot of other things. It's just easy to do. And most of the, like the Central Utah Water Conservancy District and Jordan Valley have rebate programs that I think you can get, I think, up to the half to the half of the cost of the controller refunded to you through their rebate programs.
Right. So it's a great way to conserve water. It makes life easier for you because it watches when it's going to rain and it turns off your sprinklers and just kind of gives you a rain delay.
It really does. And so I wanted to mention also, over the last month, I've irrigated my entire lawn, I think, once, and then spot watered a few spots, and it stayed beautifully green. It's just that 90 degree temperature is the threshold, it seems like, to where your lawn just stays green so much longer on far less water. And so if you do have available irrigation, don't abuse that. You know, it's cooling down. The state's saying once a week now with your water, and I think you could probably, especially with a loamy to a loamy clay soil, get away with less.
Okay, so once a week or less now for watering your lawn.
Yes.
All right. The plant of the week, chrysanthemums. I want to talk about those because they're everywhere, Ton. And I just want to know, it seems like the chrysanthemums I plant, they're all beautiful this time of year, but then they don't last. They're not, they don't come back the next year.
Fall planting chrysanthemums is a little bit dicey if you're wanting the perennial nature of them. The time to actually do that is in June, July. You'll start to see some chrysanthemums that are, you want garden mums, not the floral that you'd put on people's graves, because those will get huge. Garden mums have been bred to require less pinching to stay, have a good shape. So you want to get the garden mums, but varieties will start becoming available in July at the latest. And if you plant them then, they're a lot more likely to overwinter. So some things you can do if you want to overwinter the mums you're planting now is get them in now, because they'll have until mid-October to early November to continue to root because the soils will be warmer. But once they die back and you've had that hard frost hit them, the flowers are done, get some grass clippings or some bark mulch or some compost and put 2 to 3 inches of compost over the crowns. Leave that there for the winter, and in mid-March of next year, rake it off to allow the chrysanthemums to rebloom. And that's going to be just a little trick you can use to try to get those to overwinter a little bit more regularly.
Is part of the problem they are in just such beautiful bloom right now? They're in full bloom before you plant them, and they're using all their energy.
They are. They don't have any stored energy to overwinter. They've put all that energy into making those flowers late in the season. And what they would normally do is root out and take all summer to build root mass that's going to store enough energy to get them through. And because we just plopped them in the ground and they've been manipulated to bloom like mad in the greenhouse, a lot of times these mums that you find in the fall are actually intended to be a fall flower display that
you
dispose of, or compost, as almost like a fall annual. So the best thing to do if you want to overwinter them is get them in the ground so that the pot isn't continually freezing and thawing, and just cover them with a compost. And then you should have about 75% of them overwinter if you can cover them with compost to protect them.
All right. Special requirements for planting mums as far as light and water and
sun. They do not like shade that much. If they get too much shade, they'll get leggy and not flower that much. If it's even excessive shade beyond that, they won't overwinter. Just they need that full sun. And so they are actually somewhat heat tolerant. Watering once a week, once established, to a depth of 6 inches is fine. So average water for perennial. And then fertilizer, if you're going to do fertilizer in the spring one time, if you fertilize them through the summer, they'll get really leggy and hard to control because they, and then they'll flop over and not bloom quite as much. So one other thing with the mums, even the garden mums, in early summer and midsummer, so twice, about a month apart, you want to pinch them. And that just involves the growth tips on every branch, just pinching out the leading leaf. And what that'll cause them to do is branch sideways before they start going up and out again. And it just makes them bushier and it makes the stems a lot stronger.
Good advice, good tips. We've put an article up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page that you can check out if you'd like more information about chrysanthemums. Taking your calls next, the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Let's go to our first caller of this morning, and I believe it's Zal from Layton. Good morning. What is your question this morning?
Yes, thank you. My question is, I have a patch of raspberries and also a patch of blackberries in my yard that are both 12, 13 years old. And in the past, they've produced very well, and the last couple of years, they produced very little. I wondered if there's anything I can do about that.
I had to make sure my microphone is on. I've made myself a little bit paranoid.
He's microphone challenged
this
morning.
Yes, so the last couple of years, we've been a little bit hotter, but it's also, especially the raspberries, are getting a little bit old, and raspberry, you know, those are usually, sometimes they'll start to decline as soon as 5 or 6 years, but oftentimes they'll decline, you know, after about 10 to 12 years is about a usable lifespan for them. And so it might be, you know, you're doing everything right, but they get an accumulation of viruses. And for lack of a better term, the plants just get tired. They look healthy, but they become less productive every year. So have you changed anything on them as far as fertilization or irrigation?
No, just treat them the same every year.
So what I would do is start a new patch in a new spot using brand new plants. You don't want to take plants from your neighbors. And so what you'll do is just go in the spring and find a certified virus-free, sometimes they're called virus-indexed, bare root transplants or bare root canes and plant those in a new spot in your yard. You don't want to put them in the old spot because they'll be overwhelmed by a buildup of diseases in the soil.
I see. Is the same true for the blackberries?
It is. There should be a little more resistant, but you know, you could be seeing some heat issues, especially this year, because you know, when you have 17 or 18 days above 100 degrees, when those are trying to set flowers, you know, especially on the south side of the plant and the west sides of the plant, you're going to get a reduced number of berries to where more of your berries will be inside and on the east and north sides of the plant to where they get more shade. So did you see any patterns like that to where they're more in the shade, they had more berries?
That may be, yes.
Okay, and some of this could be heat-related. So even on your raspberries, if you had more berries in shaded areas, it just could be that we were too hot and the particular varieties just are not tolerant of that, and so their production reduced. You know, I will say, especially on the raspberries, that it is probably getting time in the next few years to do a new patch with new canes. But on the blackberries, I'm wondering if some of that may be related to more heat.
All right. So the raspberries probably have run their course, give the blackberries another chance.
Yeah, give them another chance and see what happens. If they just seem to be unproductive, do you know what variety you have?
No, they're a thornless, but I don't know the name of it.
Okay. There is a variety, if you can find it, it's fairly common, called Triple Crown, that seems to be, I won't call it foolproof, but it's very productive, cold hardy for the Wasatch Front, thornless. And so if you do end up replacing the back blackberries, Triple Crown may be one that you could look at.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. Let's take our next caller, who is Grace in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Grace. What is your call? What is your question this morning?
Good morning. Well, I've been staring at my probably over 100 iris and wondering if it's time to cut the leaves back so I can clean them up around the rhizomes or the tubers.
No, I would be patient. Let them grow. They're going to stay green for another week, or not week, but month to 6 weeks. So I would wait until hard frost kills them back, because they're producing energy right now through the sun, storing that in the roots. So next year you'll have more flowers and more robust flowers.
Okay. Well, that was my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Grace, thank you so much for your call this morning. Let's go to our next caller, Bye. Which is Rich in Draper. And good morning, Rich. What is your question?
I talked to you about 2 months ago, a plant that I had planted, an old rose which I had transplanted. On Memorial Day, it looked dead, and then it started growing. You advised me to use a fertilizer to stimulate root growth so it could make it through the winter. I've been doing that, giving that some of that water every day. I noticed that the growth, the above the graft growth, has kind of stalled because I guess it's putting up more root. Is it too late to put down any growth fertilizer right now? Is it too late
in
the season?
It's too late in the season. You'll want to start tapering off. Fertilizer stimulates growth, but growth on roses and a lot of other plants is also influenced by temperature and day lengths. And so you said you're watering it daily?
I was for a while. Now it's every other day. I'll put down the root stimulant, and when it first did it, I was putting it down daily to just to kind of stimulate it, and then I backed off. It's still nice and green and everything else, just nothing else. It hasn't even picked up even as much as maybe a half inch since then.
Yeah, and it won't because of those roots. So back off on the fertilizers, let it go dormant. You know, you can water to keep that soil moist, and if it is moist, there's no reason to keep it wetter. And just see what happens over the winter, and hopefully it comes through.
Okay. Got one more question.
We're up against a break, so it's going to have to be pretty fast.
Okay. I've got a couple of larger canes coming up from another rose here in there that I inherited. As I've investigated, these canes are probably about a quarter inch around. They appear to be coming up from the roots, and they're fairly tall. When should I cut them out? Should I wait till it goes dormant
to
cut them?
Don't let them get going, because they'll take over. As soon as you see those, you want to cut them out.
Well, I just noticed them, and I said, but they've been there for the year that I've been in the house. It's just that I finally noticed that they appear to have come from the roots.
Yeah,
not
cut them
above
out.
The cut. Okay. All right.
All right, Rich. Thanks for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.